I am terrible about following recipes. I want to skip some ingredients. I want to put a dash here, and I want to do what I want to do and not follow the ingredients, mainly because I never have the ingredients that they say you need. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're looking through the cabinets looking for that special spice that they said is crucial for that recipe. And so I skipped lots of. So when I do come up with something that's good, I have no clue about how I did it. You will find that. Well, you find that every year in the chili cook-off, because I never know what's going to go in that thing. If you're going to develop a recipe for revival, and the thing that churches have done for quite a while now, and this is their recipe for revival, well, you call a meeting, a 4 or 5, 6 day meeting. It used to be a lot longer. And then you hire an evangelist to come and preach the fire and brimstone messages, and people would come and they'd be revived. That is not the biblical story of revival. It's not what Bible is actually talks about. Revival, well, number one, I've said it and I'll continue to say it, you have to be vived first in order to be revived. Okay, so revival is not about winning lost people to the Lord, although that's a part of it. But revival is taking someone who has been, who was made alive and now appears to be dead, and bringing them back to life. Now, a saved child of God is never truly dead, but man, it's like that apple tree. It's not producing apples. Guess what? It might as well be dead because it's not producing fruit. So you want to revive it. The recipe for revival is actually found in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 15. Now, you'll probably get tired of hearing this about this verse, these verses, but let me tell you, it's got some very important things for us. We talked about this last week. If my people, which are called by my name, and shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears shall attend to the prayer that is made in this place. The recipe, humility. We talked about that last week. It'll do you no good to pray if you don't go to prayer being humble. This is not going to happen. The second ingredient you add is prayer. And you probably figure out what the other two ingredients are. But we'll talk about those in a later week. And what did God say, that if you put all these ingredients together in your life, He said He will hear us, He will forgive us, and He will heal us. Ain't that awesome? Three things He said. Reaching God. Prayer. And that's what we'll be talking about today. That second ingredient. Very important part of this ingredient. Why do we pray? Somebody just tell me. Why is it that we pray? Yeah, but to communicate with God. Why do we talk with each other? To communicate. To express an idea. Now, you can do it through Facebook. You can do it through emojis. You can do it through all this other stuff. Through text. But I can guarantee it's not the same as talking audibly. This is how we reach God. This is how we communicate with God, is praying. Why is prayer so important? Why is prayer so important? I mean, can't you be a Christian and live a Christian, a good life with God and never talk with God? Try that in a marriage. Got to talk. Got to communicate. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but prayer is important because it is the way that we communicate with God, and He communicates with us. It is, how many of y'all ever heard the song, The Royal Telephone? Oh my goodness, I know some of y'all have. Used to be one of the favorites when we were kids. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. It is a royal service, free for one and all. It's not a telephone, but it is a way of communicating, and it is the way that we communicate. God talks to us through His Word, and we hear and talk with Him. You say, well, why pray? He knows everything about us anyway. It's not the matter that we need to know everything about Him. He needs to know everything about us. It's a matter that we need to know more about Him. And this is the way that He does it. What prayer is not? This is so misused. Prayer is. Lots of times prayer is the last resort for a person. Lots of times prayer is where you have a list of things that you want. And so you say, well, He's bound to hear it. You know, He's going to hear it and He'll bound to answer it. And so you list off the things that He wants, that you want from Him. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not saying, I want that $1 million. Lord, please give it to me. And then expect Him to give you $1 million. It's not even a prayer that says, Lord, I need to be healed of old age. Okay? It's not, no, He's not going to answer that prayer because it's a blessing that He's given us life that long. And at one point, we all will die. At one point, He will answer that prayer, by the way, because He'll give us bodies that will never age. They'll never hurt. And so, prayer's not this vending machine where you just put your prayer in and the way that you think He wants it, and then He's just going to answer it. Prayer is more intimate than that. Prayer is not this, all of a sudden, Lord, save me, I'm about to drown. Oh, never mind, here's a boat. It's more than that. It's about a relationship. And we need to learn how to pray. Let's look in Luke 11. The disciples saw a difference in the way Jesus prayed and everybody else prayed. I'll never forget when I was a young man, there was a 95-year-old a man who came. He was blind. He could barely walk. He'd go play piano. And tell me his name. Do you remember his name? No, you don't remember. Maybe it's for you. But he played the piano. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on the same pew, and he was called to play, called to pray. And he got up and he turned and faced me. He wasn't looking at me. And he says, Jesus. And he talked to him. Just talked to him. Like he was standing right there. I learned a great lesson. It wasn't about this, you know, it wasn't about the words, the fantastic words that you use, but it was about him talking to Jesus. And I have no doubt that he was talking to Jesus. The disciples saw a difference in the way Jesus was praying. And they desired to pray that way. Prayer has to be learned. We need to learn how to pray. And this is what he says. So let's read this prayer. You may know it. You may have heard this before. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Wow. I can say you probably heard this before. Where in there was he asking? He told him to ask for things of this world, you know, money, place to live, you know, all kinds of passing tests, you know, all kinds of things that we pray for. That's not wrong to do that, but that's not what he was encouraging them to pray for. In verses 5 through 8, he taught them to persevere in this same chapter. He taught them in verses 11 through 13 that he taught them that God was interested in their prayers. Let's read 11 through 13. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, and he will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, he says, you need to come and persevere, and he will give you the gift that you need, the good gifts. He promises that their prayers would be heard. Verse 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. You can never get what God wants for you unless you recognize what he wants for you and you ask for it. We don't get because we do not ask. I just read something this morning, disturbed me greatly. A little survey said your average pastor only spends about 3 minutes a day in prayer. Okay, I'm assuming pastors probably would pray more than the church members, so you would hope. I have a feeling that we're not spending near enough time in prayer. And it's not about getting things, but it's about asking for things. It's about wanting God to give you the great things that He has in store for you. It's about having a relationship with God. About relating to Him. So we know that prayer is important. And we know that He's told us that we need to pray, and that He'll hear us and He'll answer our prayers. But the greatest thing that we get from praying is having that relationship with Him. Let's look in Matthew chapter 6. Does how you pray matter? The answer is yes. I'm on the inside, how you pray. Listen to this. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you that they have their reward. And let's just go on and see what it says about the publican. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use, this is verses 7 and 8, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them. What was the deal? Well, the Pharisees would stand on the corner, and they'd be dressed in their Sunday best. And then they would start, "Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you today," blah, 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 blah. And it just goes on and on and on, these beautiful big words, and everybody's going, "Wow, he must be so close to God." The part that gets me is the vain repetitions. I literally know people who prayed the same prayer, same words, over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes that's me. That's not the kind of prayers that he's talking about. Not the one that we come up for show. Not the ones where we're put on the spot being called by the pastor to get up and to pray. You get up there and your brain goes blank and boom, and you just start rattling off some words. I know how that works. I've been there. And still there every once in a while. Especially when you're called out of the blue and you're not prepared, and all of a sudden you go, "Okay, That's not the prayers he's talking about. How am I going to impress people? There ain't nothing worse than, when I go to school on Mondays and I'm called to pray in front of a bunch of preachers. What if I say the wrong thing? Well, what if, what are they going to... That's not the point. The point is we are to communicate with God, and that communication has nothing to do with that person hearing your prayer. You realize that? What about this closet thing? You might say, "Well, I pray all the time. Brother Randy calls on me all the time to pray." I'm never going to say it's wrong to pray. But there's a better time to pray. And that better time to pray is wherever you can get away and you can talk to God. Wherever you can communicate with God. Spending time alone with God is a wonderful habit to have. Everyone would agree with that, right? We need to talk with God. We as Christians, as believers, saved children of God, have the unique opportunity and privilege to be able to converse with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? How often do we just let it? The problem we have getting alone with God are many. Lots of distractions in our lives, right? Lots of things that'll take His place. And sometimes we don't even think about talking with God. Quiet time with God is the basic ingredient in a maturing relationship. There are those times, if you want to grow, let me put it like this. If you want to grow a relationship with anyone, you're going to need to spend time with that person. You're going to need to communicate on a regular basis. Now, I remember back when, in the old days, when you had telephones and party lines, I would spend a lot of my time on the phone. This is before cell phones. This is before the internet. This is back in the old days. Haley, you'd have hated it. But back in the old days, I get on the phone with a certain young lady, and we would spend hours just talking, or sometimes not talking, sometimes just being there on the phone together. How many times? "Are you still there?" "Uh-huh." "Okay. Well, I guess we should go." "Uh-huh." "Yeah, but we communicated, and we wanted to spend time together. We wanted to talk. That's how you get to know someone. And as with any relationship, communication with God is the key to knowing Him better. You say, "Well, I want to know God better." Well, talk to Him. Talk to Him. Where there is no communication, there will be no relationship. Where there is no relationship, there is no trust. And the less you know somebody, the harder it is to follow that person. If you truly knew God, you would have no trouble following Him. Because you know that He would never leave you. You know that He'd never forsake you. And you know that He'd love you to the point that He would die for you. Well, oh, He already did. So you got to get to know Him. It's for those people who say, well, I just don't know if God's got my best interest at heart. I think I'm going to do this my way. They need to know God better. That He's not going to lead them astray. Fruitful relationships are based on solid, honest, two-way communications. And I think therein lies the problem. It's that honest part. A person with no devotional life generally struggles with faith and obedience. After all, it's difficult to trust someone you don't know. It's difficult to obey someone you don't trust. You know, why is it that we don't spend time in prayer? Well, I'm going to suggest to you this. I'm going to suggest to you that the reason why we don't spend as much time in prayer is because He calls it like He sees it, and we want to present the way we want to present ourselves to Him. He makes, when we're close to Him in prayer, it will make us uncomfortable about our sin. We don't want to hear it. And He's going to tell us, you need to come back to Me. You need to repent. You need to stop that. It makes us more uncomfortable. And it should. And so in order to feel comfortable, we stay away from praying to Him. You see, when we pray on a consistent basis and we develop a relationship with God through prayer, it makes us desire to mend our broken relationship with others here on this earth. In other words, the closer we get to God, the more He's going to forgive us, and the more it's going to make us want to forgive the people who have hurt us and or we have hurt them, and mend our relationships. And to be honest with you, there are folks out there that doesn't want to mend. If they hear the word forgive, yeah, I understand, but you just don't understand what this person's done to me. You don't understand how I feel about this person. Yeah. God will say it doesn't matter, and we don't want to hear it. Christ came to create the potential for intimacy between God and His people. He wanted more than just a bunch of robots worshiping Him, giving up sacrifices, offering up sacrifices to Him. He wanted to have a relationship. In John 17, He calls His disciples friends. Abraham was a friend of God. He wants intimate relationships with us. Unfortunately, many people don't want that. They want to know God. They want to be a part of His family. They want to be saved, but they don't really want to have an intimate relationship with Him, because to do that might require some changes. To do that might come to know Him about how much He's loved, how much He loves them. Come to know how much He cares, and come to know how disappointed He is in the life that we live in. Without prayer, we lose the relational part of our faith with God. Without prayer, it's a matter of following instructions on how to please God. But with prayer, we know God. We allow God into our lives, and we allow God to lead us. Jesus set the example for our prayer life. While looking at Jesus' prayer life, there were times in His busy schedule, and Jesus was moving all over the place with His disciples, He would leave His disciples and go up into the mountain just to pray by Himself. There are times that you just, when you're just going to need to pull away from everything in your life, and you're going to need to spend that quality time in prayer with Him. What you talk about is not my business, but I'm sure there'll be something to talk about. Yourself and others. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed specifically that cup would pass from Him. In other words, that He wouldn't have to go through this. Jesus prayed fervently about this. He said, "Not my will, but Thine." He prayed until it was like great drops of blood from His forehead. He prayed that His Father's will be done, not His. And there's the difference. Lord, this is what I want. Make it happen. But if you come to God, say, "Lord, I want to change my life. I want to be revived. I want to be revived." And you come to Him humbled and said, "Whatever you want to do with my life, I want it to happen." That kind of communication God will work with. You got to come to God with a humble heart. We got to relent to God. Over the years, I have talked with so many people. Come to me with their problems. They want to know how to fix things. And of course, the answer I give them is God. It's kind of what I do. That's who I talk about. That's who I believe all the answers are. Where all the answers are. But I'll never forget one in particular. When I told this person what God wanted, required for them to get right with God, and they flat out told me, "Well, I can't do that." Over and over again, I've heard people come and I've given them what God would require. And then lots of times I say, "Yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right." Then they just go off and do whatever they want. That kind of prayer doesn't get answered. Okay? It's when you come and stand before Jesus or kneel before Him and you say, "Lord, I come to You humbled and I want Your will in my life." He'll answer that prayer. You're giving to Him. You're giving in to Him. You're relenting to Him. And you can do that because of the relationship you developed by many hours in prayer, talking to Him. You trust Him. You believe in Him. And you believe that He has your best interest in heart in everything that you do. And then you listen to His answers. How does He answer? Well, sometimes He says yes. You're right. Your prayer is answered. Now, we usually jump up and down and praise Him when all that's happening. And that's good. Every once in a while, I thank God, we need to see our prayers answered in our lives. Sometimes He says no. I'm serious. He says no. One of the toughest things for me to pray, prayer is for someone I know is dying. Now, can God heal him? Yeah. Is He? I don't know. I'll always ask God, "Lord, if it's in Your will, would You heal him?" And sometimes it's just a no. Sometimes when you ask for something, He will say no. And the question, what is the next question out of our mouths? Well, why? Why would you say no? Trust me. And the only way you're going to trust Him is to have a relationship with Him. And to have a relationship with Him, the only way you're going to do is you're going to have to pray. See how that works? There's another answer He gives. And this is one I hate worse than ever in all of them. Not now. Not now. And that's when many of us give up. We stop praying. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. That means you just keep praying. We've had some people that we've been praying for I don't know how long. They keep their names keep coming up, and we just keep praying. You know what? We're going to continue to do it. I may not be able to do anything for these people, but God can. But it may not be right now. Sometimes when we're teaching our young kids, sometimes we're expecting immediate results. We're not going to get them. Not always. And sometimes it seems like they're not even hearing it. Sometimes we don't see the results of these things until later in their lives. When he says later, you'll see it later. I'll answer that prayer, but it'll be later in my time. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You're just going to trust me. And we need to give in to his will. Ask him. When we come to him, he says, Lord, your will, not mine. And he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. Here's what you need to change. Well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You just don't want to. Because if God says it, and if this is where God wants you, then you need to trust him. And the only way you're going to trust him is if you have a relationship with him, and a relationship that's been built by prayer on a daily basis. Not just a, Lord, help me here, Lord, help me here, but an everyday basis. Lord, how are you doing today? Can you help me make it through this day? Lord, I'm in need of you a little more. I need a little more Jesus today in my life. Talk to him. Discuss your issues and problems with him. He already knows them, but it'll develop a relationship to where you'll begin to trust him. And when he tells you, here's what you need to do for your life, here's what I want your life to be, you'll say, I trust you. I believe you. And I'll change. You see, without prayer, you'll never get to that point. You'll never trust God enough. Because you haven't humbled yourself to the point to where you're willing to listen to what God actually is wanting for your life. Can you pray too much? Can you spend too much time talking to God? I will tell you this, I spend more time with my eyes talking to God with my eyes wide open while I'm doing something else than I ever do on my knees. I'm not sure it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm talking to God. And there are times that when I am alone, when I have secluded myself in my closet and I'm talking with God, it's some of the best times in the world. But you know what? I don't do it near as much as I need to. If you think that we're ever going to have revival in this land, a revival in our churches, a revival in your life without prayer, you are indeed foolish. And it's going to have to be not just prayer, but humble prayer. You see, these ingredients do go together. And one cannot be without the other. You need to pray and humble yourself before him. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Do you have this desire for your life to change and for your life to be better? Do you have this desire that you need to go before, that you want to get to know God better? Well, the only way that's going to happen is you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to find that quiet time on a consistent basis talking to him, getting to know him, loving him, and talking to him. And yes, you will hear things from him that you don't want to hear. He will find the things that need to change in your life, and you won't want to do it, and it'll hurt, but trust him. Say, well, I can't do that right now. Well, you start talking to him. Don't cut the lines of communication with God. Maybe you're here today and you're in that position. You're a saved child of God, but you haven't talked to really talk with God in a long time. That can change right now. Come to Him with a humbled heart. Talk to Him. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, that when you leave this life that you believe that you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or not, you've never become a child of God, listen, there's only one prayer that He's going to hear right now from you. And that is the prayer of, Lord, I am a lost and dying sinner, and I'm in need of Your love and Your salvation in my life. And You're answering His call to come to Him to be saved. That is the prayer that He hears. It's the prayer that He will always answer, yes. This morning, if you're here today and you've never asked that prayer, you don't need revival. You need to be made alive in Christ the first time. As we prepare for an invitation, as we all stand, I don't know where you're at in your prayer life. That's between you and God. But I think that you can see a drastic difference in those whose prayer lives are dynamic. And their prayer lives are continuous. The ones that begin to understand and love and appreciate God, know Him in a way that others could not, is by praying. And if you haven't been doing this, it's a simple matter of saying, Lord, I want to know You and to talk with You. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, right now He is calling on you to pray. Very specifically, pray that they can come to know You as Savior and Him as Savior. So as we sing this morning, the second ingredient of prayer, and I hope and pray that you'll add that to your ingredient list, and that you'll start putting that into your life. So as we sing this morning.